From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Peter Gross, Roy Blunt Jr., and Roxanne Roberts. And here again is your host at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall in Portland, Oregon, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
This is Ted Pease from Logan, Utah.
Hey, how are things in Logan?
Well, you know, I just heard that applause, and I don't get that when I get in my classroom.
All right. Hey, hey, let's make Ted, could we all applaud for Ted? Ted, it's Ted Pease. There you go. So I'm assuming you teach something depressing and sad?
Yeah, journalism.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Well, Ted, welcome to the show. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Ted's topic?
Oh, that's how they make that.
We rarely stop to wonder what it is we're shoving into our mouths or slathering on our skin, where it comes from, who made it, and how. If we knew those answers, well, we'd still eat it. We're Americans. Anyway, this week our panelists are going to read you three origin stories of things we commonly use. Guess the true story, you'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. Okay, here we go, Ted. Let's hear first from Roxanne Roberts.
Makeup artist Jeremy Ridgewell is the unexpected darling of New York Fashion Week thanks to his innovative looks, especially his glow-in-the-dark eyeshadows on the runways of Jason Wu, Marc Jacobs, and Calvin Klein. His secret? Radioactive waste mixed with ground mother of pearl and organic dyes. Quote, I got the idea when I worked as a medical technician by day, drag queen at night, he tells Women's Wear Daily. I needed something that really popped on stage. His makeup caught on with downtown hipsters, quote, they were really into the irony of it, and got noticed by fashion editors earlier this year. Ridgewell won't say exactly where he gets the waste, but stresses there's only trace amounts of radiation in the makeup, less than a chest x-ray, and most models, he says, have no problems with this product, except for the acid green eyeshadow. Quote, that kind of freaks them out, but I tell them that fashion is all about taking risks.
A glowing form of makeup made from radioactive waste. Your next unusual background story comes from Peter Gross.
Next time you're really high and wondering how they get the cream filling into a Hostess cupcake or how much wood a woodchuck could actually chuck, don't contemplate where that weed you just smoked comes from. You might not want to know the answer. Residents of the Chu Valley, a remote region between Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan, have a rather unorthodox method for harvesting their hash. First, a highly trained, pun intended, individual gets completely naked and rides on horseback through a dense field of pot plants. After a few hours, when both the rider and horse are covered with a thick layer of resin and sweat, the sticky brown substance is scraped off their bodies, pressed into bricks, and sold to eager customers. Dark Side of the Moon CD not included. So the good news is, if you've ever smoked this stuff and thought, man, this tastes like the sweat of a stocky Central Asian man and his horse, you were right. The potent product known as Plastilin is extremely popular with locals and is reported to be the only type of marijuana that definitely does not give you the munchies.
Mm-hmm. Pot resin scraped from the naked skin of Central Asian horsemen.
Well summed up.
Yeah. And your last behind-the-scenes revelation comes from Roy Blunt, Jr.
Honeybees, alas, are a threatened species. So maybe it's a good thing they no longer have a monopoly on making honey. This week, the Food and Drug Administration announced approval of a new form of honey induced from rabbits. Put Peter Cottontail in a cubicle with room only for him and a conveyor belt carrying a mixture of carrots and nasturtiums, and the rabbit will chew and chew and continue to chew long after he is sated and ceases to swallow. The resultant overflow is conveyed to special vats where it steeps along with organic enzymes and natural sweeteners until, voila, bunny honey. Too much of an ick factor for you? How do you think bees make honey?
All right. Here, then, are your stories. Somebody out there is using either, from Roxanne, glittery makeup made from radioactive medical waste. From Peter Gross, they're smoking pot that's made from a resin scraped from the naked bodies of horsemen. From Roy Blunt Jr., bunny honey, made in a process so gross I don't want to go over it again. Which of these is the real story of a strange but true origin?
You know, I love them all.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't like bunny honey or sweaty horsemen? But I have to go with the glow-in-the-dark toxic waste.
You're going to go?
Why not?
You've got that look, Roxanne, that you sometimes get. All right, your choice then is Roxanne's story of the glow-in-the-dark makeup made from medical waste. The audience, at least a part of them, seems to agree with you. All right, we actually spoke to someone who can tell us about this remarkable product.
Workers would run through the hemp fields naked and gather it and scrape it off later.
That was Dr. Michael Aldrich, author of the High Times Encyclopedia of Recreational Drugs, talking about the Central Asian horsemen who would run through the fields or ride through them till their bodies were covered with pollen and dust, which was then scraped up and made into a potent resin.
Makes you want to eat some bunny honey.
It really
it?
Does. Well, as so many have been before you, you've been seduced and misled by Roxanne Roberts, but you did earn her a point. Thank you so much for playing. And Roxanne, I'm sure you're grateful as well.
Excellent. Thank you.